Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Grim Scenarios. I'm your host, Milk, and as always, I'm joined by your other host, Emma. Hey, Emma, what's up?
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
I'm having a good time at the moment. My Avenged AFK Celtics are up by 11 in this Game 3 of the NBA Finals, which is, you know, what's really important here. But we did want to get you a podcast, so we are recording, even though I am 32% distracted.
Only 32% distracted. I'll take it. A 32% distracted Emma is basically like a 100% focused Milk. So really, you're kind of getting the best of both worlds.
We were talking about what we wanted to do this week, partially because I knew we were likely to be recording during a basketball game that I would be half paying attention to, and partially just because I felt it was time we just sort of did a format switch, which we've done occasionally before.
We mix it up.
Yeah, we decided we'd do another storytelling focus episode. Previously, we did a few of these focused on each of the base three scripts, and I think, did we do a custom one, too?
We did a custom as well. Yeah, we did catfishing.
Yeah, we did catfishing, that's right. But I was esting a game on a tech server that Milk and I are on recently, and one of the players sort of asked us if we'd done anything about storytelling in general on Grim Scenarios in her storyteller chat, and I was like, we haven't, and that's actually something I think is sort of interesting to talk about. I think it's a very, like, the sort of storyteller opinion characters. So High Priestess in general are the two released ones, and we thought it would be useful to sort of, you know, as part of our strategy folks, talk about the strategy of storytelling these nebulous characters. I know some people who really dislike these characters because they don't feel like they have a good sense of how storytellers work with them. And that can be frustrating. So I figured we'd find a script with both of them, which Milk found for us, and we'd just sort of talk about these sort of storyteller opinion characters in sort of our traditional Grim Scenario style.
And I think this is a little bit adjacent to some things we've talked about in the past as well, right? It's a little bit adjacent to talking about storyteller decision-making with madness and how you adjudicate madness. It's a little bit adjacent to talking about how storytellers give information to savants or fishermen, right? These are storyteller decisions about information that heavily impact the game.
Much like when Derek White nails a three with to put the Celtics up 13.
I think basketball analogies are fine. Yeah, exactly like when Derek White nails a three. Yeah, exactly that.
Sorry.
It's fine.
I sometimes make noises with my hands when I'm watching basketball.
There's nothing wrong with getting excited about sports. I'm all for it.
All right.
So let's pick one. So we have High Priestess and General here. Why don't we pick one of these to kind of start out with, and then we'll move into the other one.
Yeah. Why don't I? I'll just put together a quick rim for us, and then we can sort of. Let's start with General, because I think General is... Night 1 General is one of the harder things to think about as a storyteller. So I'm going to just toss out some characters. We'll make it nice and simple for us.
Yeah. I think there's some core things we can think about with General, too, that can help you when you're trying to storytell a game with a General in it. So why don't we go out to the Grim and let's take a look at what we've got.
Okay, so just gonna.
Yeah, just a couple of basic bluffs.
Yeah, just a couple of bluffs there. So this is the sort of randomly generated setup. So our outsiders are Snitch and Recluse. Our townsfolk are General, Town Crier, Banshee, Pixie, Oracle, Podbegor. We've tossed in some bluffs in the bluff stab for the demon. We'll pixify something. How about the Town Crier?
Sounds good.
And we'll also note that we have snitch bluffs, and our snitch bluffs will be Juggler, Noble, and let's say Poisoner.
That sounds great. So while Emma's finishing that up, I'm going to just read the general token for everybody really quickly, because I think, like many characters, it's important to understand the text. But I think on this character in particular, the text is really valuable. And General says, each night, you learn which alignment the storyteller believes is winning, good, evil, or neither.
Yeah. And first of all, there's like a lot of different ways people interpret the good winning, the literal information you can give a general.
Yep.
The general almanac tells you to make a hand signal like you're a Roman emperor, so like neutral, good, evil. But like it doesn't get into whether like your thumb can be at somewhere like here, between good and neutral, or here, between evil and neutral. And some people take this very literally and say, these are the only three things you're allowed to give. Straight thumbs up, straight thumbs down, neutral. Some people want their thumb to be to express the full range of, the full 180 degree range. And especially if you're bluffing in general, you should check with your storyteller to see how they run that and make sure that you are... giving general hand signals in ways that your storyteller might. Milk, what's your sort of opinion on what varied degrees of information you should normally give a general?
Yeah, I'm pretty much of the thumb can kind of point more or less anywhere in the range kind of person. Sometimes you'll run into some interesting situations where you'll really, really want to emphasize to the general, like, your team is doing so badly, I can't turn my thumb far. Like, you know, there's a certain level of, like, hey, you're the only piece of information left. Your team needs to know they're in real big trouble. So you might, like, really emphatically gesture. Like, there's nothing wrong with making, like, a really emphatic thumbs down. I also am personally of the belief that games are very rarely in a neutral state. I think neither is a very uncommon state that the game can be in with a general with a general's information.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it a cop-out general information, because that's not fair to when the game's actually neutral, but I sort of take a different approach to Milk. I try to be very... I used to be more in the, it's fun to put your thumb in various different positions and indicate different things. I've moved more towards trying very hard to stick with just a straight good or a straight evil. And, like, even, and like Milk said, trying to very rarely go to neutral, so I almost am sort of just a, I try to be as much as possible a two-option general.
I try to be a four.
Which I think is sort of, it makes it harder to sort of offer degrees to a general, but it's sort of, but it makes the shifts in their information more dramatic, which I think can help the general generate meaning. Because a lot of the meaning of what the general is going to get is going to be from shifts in the information rather than the information directly.
And you should try...
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And as a storyteller, you should try different ways. Right? You shouldn't just, like, the first time you do it because you saw me do it one way or because you saw Emma do it one way or whatever, you do it that way. You shouldn't just pick one way and just do it that way. Try different ways and see what makes the most sense for you. Because ultimately, you're the storyteller, and this is a character that's providing information based on what the storyteller thinks. That's really important.
Yeah. So with that all said, I've sort of
One more thing, sorry. Let me just, I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, absolutely. No, please cut me off.
One more thing, which is that we often get questions. I know I've gotten this question a lot. I'm sure Emma's gotten this question a lot. We often get questions. I got this question in a panel that I did with Capelli about, like, these storyteller choice type characters, which is, where does the game start? Like, does the game start neutral? Like, games generally are going to start neutral. Absolutely throw that whole concept out the window. Take that entire idea, mash it up in a little ball, and shoot a three with it for the Celtics. Because
we're up by 21 now. This has been just a complete blowout of a half for the Celtics. It was a one-point Dallas lead at halftime. We're now winning by 20 at the start of the fourth quarter. I know you're all excited for this... my basketball commentary being mixed into this
Rip
episode.
Dallas fans. But anyway, so throw that whole concept that games start in a certain state by default. Take that idea and throw it away. Because if you start at a default, you're not really looking at the Grim. You're not really considering what's in play. Go ahead.
Yeah, you should genuinely look at each of your Grims in initial spot. It may be that you... I know Ben Burns believes most games start good, and that's a fine thing to believe, but I also know that Ben looks at each Grim when he starts storytelling in a general game and makes a decision based on that Grim. He might be biased towards saying good at the beginning, but you need to actually look at your Grim and say, huh, what's going on here? So I try to wash out in my hand any of my thoughts of, like, is this a good favorite script? Is this an evil favorite script? And say, all right, here's the setup we have. Who do I think is winning this game at the moment?
Yeah, and so, moreover, right, your opinion is really, you know, core, I think, to making this character work. Your unbiased opinion, your unvarnished opinion, is core to making the general work. I think it's not that general information should be as hard to think up or come up with as savant information, but you should be putting as much effort in. Like, when I give savant information, I often joke about, let me look at the Grim real quick and, you know, scratch my beard and look like I'm really thinking about it. When you give general information, you should look at the Grim and you should scratch your beard if you have one, or your chin, and you should think about what's actually going on here, what's actually happening in play. Given what I know about this game so far, who do I think is winning?
Yeah, and as the game progresses, you'll have even more data points, not just the tokens on the Grim, but you need to be listening into your players' conversations, paying attention on who's being nominated, pay attention on who people think is evil. If the, like, in this script has a poppy grower, which is a very powerful good character. If the poppy grower gets executed, like, maybe that's going to make it a general evil because the evil team's just going to get a boost. But maybe the poppy grower got executed and the other person everyone was talking about was the imp. And tomorrow they're definitely going to kill that imp. Evil's not winning, even though the poppy grower effect is leaving play. Good is winning. Good is going to win because they're about to execute the demon. Like, that is part of the information that you need to be paying attention to, is the social situation, the conversations that are happening, the discussions. So with that said, let's talk about Night 1 general information. So, Milk, here's a Grim setup.
A great Grim setup, by the way. This is a really interesting one for general information.
So we have our imp over here in seat 4. Their minions are the goblin in seat 10 and the harpy in the seat 9, but they don't know this because this is a poppy grower game.
Yep.
There's a cult leader here in seat 8 who's become evil. The minions have snitch bluffs, juggler, noble, and poisoner, but those don't overlap with the demon bluff, so it's going to be hard for the imp to find them. The imp has their bluffs, amnesiac, high priestess, cannibal. And the only starting information here is the pixie's mad that there's a town crier. So, Milk, sort of, where are you thinking that... What's your initial inclination of where you're going to put this?
General information. So I think there might... So I think the audience might have a question before we take one more step forward, which is, why is it that the snitch bluffs include a minion? And we've talked about it before, but just to remind everybody, snitch bluffs are out-of-play characters. They don't have to be good characters.
Oh, and we should also make the harpy pick someone, because that would happen.
And the harpy should have to pick someone before you would make your general info.
Yeah, and we'll say the harpy has picked seat 6 to be mad that the harpy is evil. This was something the harpy did because it was a popular game and they didn't want to accidentally murder their demon.
Yep. This makes that makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about what we can refine out of this Grim from a base look, right?
Yeah.
Just first pass.
But just a note on why I would include Poisoner specifically in these snitch bluffs. It's not just because it's funny, though it is, to give the minions an evil character that's not in play. It's specifically because of the goblin. Telling the goblin that there's a poisoner not in play means the goblin doesn't have to worry about being poisoned by mistake when they're claiming goblin in a poppy grower game. They know that it's safe for them to go for their goblin win.
Yep. So you're passing on information. We've talked about that a lot, right, in the podcast over our many episodes. Your bluffs are passing on information to the evil team. And in this case, right, these bluffs, you're giving the imp 3 bluffs as well. And it's important to know you've given the imp bluffs that allow the imp to know certain things as well, right? Amnesiac and High Priestess are very versatile bluffs. The imp can kind of flex around them. They don't have to save a bluff for their demon, or they, for their minions, excuse me. So they can maybe potentially even float back and forth between Amnesiac and High Priestess. And they know that Cannibal's not in play, so they don't have to be worried about, as long as they're not executing, you know, as long as they're not executing a minion, you know, even if they're, you know, I mean, but they don't really have to worry about who they're executing, right? They don't really have to worry too much about executing a powerful role and getting Cannibal information out there. So, and they're the imp, so they could potentially claim Cannibal and pass to a minion.
Mm-hmm.
So just from a cursory overview here, yes, the evil team doesn't know each other, which is very strong for good. But the minions have bluffs. The demon has bluffs. The demon bluffs are very flexible. The good team doesn't have a ton of starting information.
Yep. The evil team has two extra win conditions here on day one.
Mm-hmm. They have the goblin win condition. And what's the other win condition? Oh, cult leader. Yeah, and cult leader win condition. And cult leaders are most likely to go off on day one when people think they may, are most likely, people think anyway, they're most likely not to have been flipped evil. Of course, in a poppy grower game, you're welcome to do it either way, right? It's fine.
Yeah. There's an extra evil in play.
There's an extra evil in play.
And that might mean there's sort of an extra player who's reluctant to vote for fear of the poppy grower.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that is a signal sometimes of popular games. The minions will be reluctant to vote because they don't know who their demon is and they're scared of accidentally voting them out. The cult leader knows one of their neighbors is evil, obviously, but they don't know who their loss condition is.
Yeah, and even more so, you know, in a day or two, if the cult leader, Harpy, and Goblin are voting as a block together, or not voting as a block together, and town's starting to get suspicious of them, that's also information we can include in our general assessment.
So my inclination here is this is, despite the presence of the Poppy Grower, which is, I believe, the most powerful individual character in the game, I do believe this is a situation where evil is ahead at the moment.
Yeah, evil's winning.
I would probably give an evil winning a thumbs down to the general.
I would probably give an evil slightly winning. I would probably give a thumb slightly diagonal. Something else to mention, and I think it's worth talking about, although there's not a ton of guidance about it exactly, is how the recluse and general interact. Since recluse is on the script, we should talk about it. My perspective is very, very distinctly that the general's token says that the storyteller tells the general who the storyteller thinks is winning. The storyteller knows the recluse's role. The recluse cannot misregister for the storyteller. And so the storyteller knows the recluse is in play. They know whether the recluse has misregistered. They know all that information. The recluse cannot misregister for the storyteller's opinion of who is winning. The recluse misregistering to another ability, on the other hand, if there was a fortune teller here who hit the recluse, could impact the general's ability, right?
Yeah. So, like, The dynamic way this matters is, like, you can register the recluse as evil directly to the general and say, in your little mind, the general's noticing five evil players. And the answer is, so what? That does, like, even if that's happened, it doesn't change, it should not be changing your opinion of the storyteller on who is winning the game, even if the general is noticing five evil players. And even though five evils would be very tough for good to win against, in reality, there's not five evils. The storyteller knows this, and the storyteller isn't confused about who's winning because of the recluse's ability to misregister its alignment.
Right. The recluse might misregister for the general, but that doesn't mean that the storyteller still doesn't know who's winning, and the general has to know who the storyteller thinks is winning. So it's a bit, I guess it's a bit meta, I guess it's a bit philosophical or esoteric, but functionally, I would never pretend that I think that evil is winning because there's like an extra evil in play because of the recluse. That doesn't make sense, and I don't think it's functionally correct based on how the general's ability is written. So
yeah, I would agree with that. So we both agree that we'd give a general evil or slightly evil here.
I think so.
So Milka, do Do you want to sort of fast forward to a different game state and we can talk about that?
Yeah, let's move forward a couple of, maybe like 2 days. Should we kill maybe like four players and see where we end up?
You just kill some people. And then
yeah,
talk
I think,
about the
I think, I think I'd like to, I think I'd like to kill off this, this town crier. Let's go ahead and, let's flip the cult leader back to good for a night. And then we're going to flip the cult leader back to evil, I think. That'll be kind of interesting for the cult leader. And then let's kill off the snitch, and let's kill off the harpy. And I think probably, oh, let's make it easy on ourselves and get rid of this recluse.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, yeah, so we're now, based off this kill pattern, probably here on day...
Three, I think.
Three, yeah. We have, we're down to 8 players alive, 5 goods, 3 evils. One of these evils, the cult leader, might become good again. Harpy's no longer around. The pixie is now the town crier. The town crier's dead. What did the oracle number get last night?
Well, the oracle would have had to get a,
one or a two.
I think probably... I think the storyteller probably gave a 1 last night. I think they might save that recluse for another night. Go forward another night, see if good kills a good player, and then try to use that recluse on the good player. So I think that's probably fair. Let's say that the pixie just gained the ability last night, and we'll say that the harpy voted yesterday, so we'll say that there's a yes, a pixie, a town crier, yes, that the pixie got. I think that's fine.
Now, so here's some things I'm thinking about in this situation. Yes, it's a 5-3 game. Yes, evil still has 2 win cons and good only has 1 win con. But here's some things that are still working in good's favor. They have killed a minion. There's no longer any harpy to confuse things. That's working in good's favor. There's a banshee who's still alive. Now, the Banshee is interesting because the Banshee is sort of an anti-loss condition for good. So, to a certain degree, like, it's a rare good character who you'd be more, like, happy for the general if they were dead, preferably at night to the demon. But since they're still alive here, that means, and they haven't been executed, that means we're getting to the stage where they're just sort of a safety net for the good team. We don't know how trust... Maybe I heard yesterday, like, a bunch of the good players saying how much they trusted the Banshee. Like, that would be something that would heavily push me towards good, because, like, the less likely the Banshee is to be executed, the more likely good is to not lose this game.
Right. Alternately, if we hear the town saying that they're quite suspicious of the player in seat 7, who's the poppy grower, we might start thinking, okay, that means the imp might not die tomorrow, right? Or town thinks that there's no goblin in play, and so they're not suspicious of seat 10, you know. I think there's, or maybe we think town is going to kill the cult leader tomorrow, that they're sick of voting on cults and they've decided they just want to kill that pesky player in seat 8. You know, there's things you can listen for, right? Keys. If everybody in town is like, yeah, we're definitely voting on seat 4 today, good's probably winning. But if town's split, if town is interested in killing into a powerful role like the poppy grower, the banshee during the day, if you think they're going to kill the cult leader, if you think the goblin might get a win, you know, these are all things you need to take into account when you're thinking about general and giving information for the general. And even into the late game, you know, that general information can solve games, right? If everybody thinks that the player in seat 10 is the demon and the general is getting evil is winning,
that's not actually the demon, and that there's something bad that happens if you kill them.
Yeah. So let's just imagine that this game is we'll just kill this cult leader. It doesn't really matter. We'll kill the poppy grower. Let's kill the oracle. We'll kill the pixie. So now here we are on final four, and town is talking about, oh well, we could go to sleep, but we're just going to kill seat 10 tomorrow anyway. You know, And the general convinces town to go to sleep, and everybody's like, oh, well, we're just killing Seat 10 tomorrow. He keeps claiming Goblin. He's probably the demon. Telling the general, hey, you know, evil is winning in that night phase. And, of course, the Banshee may die or whatever, or the demon may start past. But, you know, there's other stuff that can happen. But, again, like, telling the general that evil is winning in that situation might be a way to help redirect them from a course of action that's catastrophic.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think we've kind of done General. Do you have any other final thoughts on General? I think it's incredibly powerful as a character, provided that storytellers are kind of honestly and genuinely giving their opinion of which team is winning, and not sort of trying to, give kind of a consistent, like, oh, it's kind of neutral, but good has got a slight advantage, or, you know.
Yeah. You need to be honest with yourself about what's going on in the game.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna swap out a little bit, and then we'll come back for a little High Priestess chat, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into some High Priestess stuff. This is going to be our starting Grimm, and Emma, I mean, you know, we've kind of, again, it's a little bit artificial, but where do you want to start here talking about High Priestess? I guess I'll read the token. Each night, learn which player the storyteller believes you should talk to most. So once again, it's what the storyteller thinks, what the storyteller knows, what the storyteller believes. How do we understand that, I guess, to be similar to General? How do we understand that to be different? What are you thinking?
So, before we get into what I think that means, I wanted to say what I don't think that means.
Fair.
And specifically, I want to read a few words from the High Priestess Almanac with its examples. First off, there is no official criteria that determines which player the storyteller must show to the High Priestess. It is up to the storyteller's judgment as to what they think will most benefit the High Priestess and the good team in general. It could be because the player has important information that has not yet been revealed, or because the player is evil and has a bluff that doesn't make sense, or because a player is trustworthy and needs to be trusted more, or because the player is good but on the wrong track and needs to be corrected, or something new. So there is no criteria of the High Priestess learns the good player with the best information every night. That is not what the High Priestess does. That would be an incredibly busted character.
Yeah.
Like, if you read the token of who you should talk to most, and you read it to mean that, you are putting your own interpretation on this, which is distinctly not what the High Priestess Almanac, which is the instructions on how the character is to be run, tells you to do. The High Priestess Almanac also provides you a few helpful examples. Here's the first one. On the first night, the High Priestess learns Julian. Julian is the chef and has useful information to share. On the second night, the High Priestess is shown Mariana. Mariana is the goblin, and the storyteller thinks that the High Priestess would benefit most from talking to Mariana to find out this as early as possible. On the third night, the High Priestess is shown Doug. Doug is the drunk whose information is wrong and harming the good team. So in this game, in this example of the High Priestess, you've learned a good player is good information, an evil player that you need to suss out, and a good player who has bad information who needs to be convinced to get on the right track. The second example. For three nights in a row, the High Priestess learned Sarah. Sarah is the saint, and the good team are trying to execute her. On the last night, the High Priestess learns Lewis. Lewis is the imp, and his story is clashing with good players, several good players. Again, these are not show the High Priestess the good player with the best information. It's show the High Priestess something that will help them win this game, which in this case is convincing them to stop trying to kill the saint.
Mm-hmm. Now, that said, the High Priestess needs context for this to make sense. So, for example, things you probably aren't going to show the High Priestess. You're probably not going to show the High Priestess the town crier who has no information on the first night. Right. Mm-hmm. That's unlikely. You're probably not going to show the drunk general on the first night, and the reason for that is that there's not enough context for for the High Priestess to use that in a way that helps the good team. You might. You might find, you know, that that's an important thing to show. But showing the drunk general that early, there may not be enough information for that, for the High Priest to be able to use that information. That's not to say you should only show a good player on the first night. You might show a minion without a bluff, or a minion that you think is in an awkward position, a minion that's in noble information. You might show a Nodashi poisoned player who is, you know, doesn't have correct, you know, isn't going to get correct info for the entire game. You might do all of those things. But it's important to remember that the High Priestess can't solve in a vacuum. So you do need to, right, you're not going to show the High Priestess somebody who doesn't have information or that doesn't have a real reason for the High Priestess to communicate with them. The High Priestess should get something out of the chat.
Yeah. But that something needs to be something that you think of based on the situation of the game is important at the time. You shouldn't be rote about looking to give the High Priestess to support other information. That's not what the High Priestess is doing. It's right. Not here to say, this good player has the best information. Now we'll move on to the next player with the next best information.
Mm-hmm. Something you could do on this Grim, for example, not saying that's what we would necessarily do, on night one, you could show the High Priestess the Snake Charmer. The Snake Charmer is likely to have good information on who is not the demon, or alternately, may eventually be the demon. That's really strong High Priestess information, and it's important for the High Priestess to talk to that player. They're going to be lying, because they're probably not going to want to reveal they're the Snake Charmer, so they're going to seem like an evil, potentially, or at least eventually may seem like an evil, and they may genuinely eventually be an evil.
Yep. Let's just run through this grim and think about whether we might show the High Priestess each of these players, I think.
Let's start with night one, maybe. You know, on
night one.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Snake Charmer. That might be someone to show them. The Cult Leader is currently good and has two good neighbors and is a good win condition. You could easily justify showing the High Priestess the Cult Leader. Your concern might be that this leads to a too strong situation for good, but it's something that would be very justifiable. The Cannibal is the Pixie confirmed player. The Pixie's poisoned, but the Cannibal is Pixie confirmed. So that's, I think, completely viable to do.
Then we've got the Lunatic. The Lunatic is possibly not one of the better players to show, because they don't have a lot of information to share with the High Priestess at this point, but maybe on day two, if the Lunatic seems to be figuring out that they're the Lunatic, they may be worth showing to the High Priestess later.
Maybe the High Priestess is a Lunatic minion.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean, that's certainly
maybe
a situation.
High Priestess is a Lunatic bluff. Like, there are reasons you could justify it on day one, but like I said, it would probably be more situational, I think, than the first three characters we discussed.
Scarlet Woman, if you show the High Priestess a Scarlet Woman, the good team catching a Scarlet Woman before the Scarlet Woman has a bluff is amazingly powerful. That's very strong for the High Priestess to be shown the Scarlet Woman here.
Town Crier, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. The Town Crier doesn't have any info yet. There's nothing interacting with the Town Crier. They're not near the Cult Leader. They're not a Pixie Mad player. Maybe if they were poisoned, you might have some reason to do it. But again, they're not getting any information, so the poison's not doing anything. It's a bit... There's probably not a great reason to show the Town Crier.
Yeah. We could give them good information despite being poisoned here, but probably not who we're going to be showing. The Demon... Maybe if, like, this demon is a demon who really likes bluffing Amnesiac, and we know they're going to take that bait bluff, maybe that would be a reason to show the demon. But again, probably not.
Yeah, we're probably not necessarily going to show the demon right away. That doesn't mean we're never going to show the demon, and it doesn't even mean we're never going to show the demon first. But we're going to need to have a pretty good reason for doing that, I think. The Noble has three bad pings and is poisoned by the demon. We're probably not showing the Noble on the first night of this game either. Their information isn't necessarily going to be easy for the High Priestess to parse this early, so they're probably a lower likelihood, lower priority character for us to show as well.
Yeah. Poisoner you could show for the same reason the Scarlet Woman. I think if I was going to do that, I would show the Scarlet Woman, not the Poisoner, because the Scarlet Woman is a more useful minion to catch before they have a bluff than the Poisoner.
Yeah, 100%. If I'm going to show a minion, I'm showing the Scarlet Woman in this setup. And then the Drunk General. You know, the Drunk General, probably, again, not enough context yet for us to really show the Drunk General.
So I think, like, in most cases, I think we've determined there's, like, 4, 5, depending on what's there for the Lunatic, on whether we show them that we could show to the High Priestess. I think there's 4 to 5 reasonable choices for Night 1.
Do you wanna sit on the fence, or shall we each kind of say which one we would probably show? I have kind of an idea that I think I would probably show the Snake Charmer here. I think that's kind of my like number one, what I think is most important. And again, it's based on what I as the storyteller, or you as the storyteller, or our lovely audience as the storyteller would choose. So is there one that speaks to you more?
I think contextually, if like the Lunatics had the High Priestess as a minion, that would probably be my top choice. But I probably wouldn't give the High Priestess as a Lunatic minion for that very reason. I don't want to do that and then send the High Priestess to the Lunatic. It's like just sort of setting me up to remove the Lunatic Outsider ability from the game immediately. I would probably lean to either the Scarlet Woman or the Cult Leader.
That Scarlet Woman is very tempting.
Scarlet Woman is very tempting. Cult Leader, my bigger concern would be it's almost too tempting. Like, if you show the High Priestess the Night 1 Cult Leader, you might just be, like, sort of ruining the game by having a Day 1 Cult win that you've sort of hard confirmed. Like, and I don't want to say that, like, you should be... what I would say is, in terms of High Priestess and game balance, is if you're trying to decide between two players, you can consider what is going to be more fun for me to show between these two players, I think, are pretty close calls. And then you can say, given that I think it's more fun to show the Scarlet Woman, it will lead to a more fun game if I show the Scarlet Woman, show the Scarlet Woman. If my opinion is that the showing the Cult Leader is way better than showing the Scarlet Woman here, I'm not going to show the Scarlet Woman to avoid the information that the High Priestess is entitled to, which is that this Cult Leader is the best player to talk to. But I think it's a close call, and I do think it's a close call here. I'm showing the Scarlet Woman.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be more fun.
Yeah, and I think we're using very predictive language. We're using language about what we think is going to happen in the game. And on Night 1, you sort of have to do that to some extent, because you just have the tokens to work from. But as the game progresses, as with General, right, you can have more and more information that you've heard, that you've seen, nominations, votes, players talking. You know, you have a lot more to work with as you go forward, and so you can be less prospective. You can work from what's happening in the game rather than trying to sort of predict what will happen in the future of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to move the game along a couple of days, Emma, and we'll just see kind of what the High Priestess maybe ought to get in a day or two?
Yeah, sure. We'll have the Lunatic executed day one because they were all confused and evil-seeming.
And
the demon learned then that the cannibal was the demon, so they knew that was a cannibal and they killed it. That led to... let's see, the Cult Leader flipping alignments, we'll do that.
Yep.
The next day, they executed the General, let's say. The Nodashi killed the Cult Leader, not knowing any, not realizing what they were doing. And then that night, let's say, the Poisoner poisoned the High Priestess.
I like that.
So here we are. We have a poisoned High Priestess. This is our Grim State.
What do you do?
The Town Crier got a yes. We'll have the Town Crier got a yes yesterday. Mm-hmm. And this poisoned cannibal noble got drunk General information.
Sounds great. Yeah, so the General's confirmed, but, you know, it's obviously, maybe obviously drunk information. So, what do we do now? We don't know who the snake charmer has picked, but we know that they haven't picked the demon. Doesn't really matter who they've picked because they haven't picked the demon. So they remain a good option. The Scarlet Woman and the Poisoner now probably have bluffs. Mm-hmm. The Pixie, the Town Crier has a yes on a minion. We'll just say it's a you know, one of the other, doesn't matter. The Pixie still has quite messy information. It's not going to be super useful for town, but it is poisoned from the Nodashi, but it's also drunk from the drunk general who town may suspect is drunk. And we've got the poisoned noble who's gaining no more information.
Yeah, and also importantly, our snake charmer has cleared three players from being the demon.
Yeah. Maybe one or two of those is dead. We don't know.
Yeah. So again, like, even though our high priestess is poisoned, we should go through that same process. We should look at the groom and say, all right, who is the player would actually show here to a sober high priestess? And I think the answer is almost certainly the town crier, who has this critical information that a minion nominated yesterday. Maybe over their information as a whole has narrowed this down to they know seat six is a minion because of this town crier. Yes, yesterday, they've locked onto that. I think in this situation where what we're having in terms of good versus evil players alive, the town crier is almost certainly going to be the correct answer here. Yeah. Good is behind.
There's not really a better choice in this moment.
Yeah.
But the high priestess is poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And this drunk pixie just learned that the good team is winning, that they're on the right track.
That's right. We would almost certainly never show this drunk pixie to the high priestess otherwise. And part of the reason for that is, let's imagine again that our high priestess is sober, right? We're probably not going to show seat 8 the pixie, because now not only is seat 8 the pixie poisoned by the Nodashi and has the Nodashi's ability, or has the fake ability that we've given them, but they're also have just eaten a drunk character and are giving out information that's sort of doubly wrong. So even though we might point a high priestess at a character that's noteworthy, that has noteworthily bad information, it might be confusing for the good team to try to solve the, if this were a sober high priestess ping, it might be confusing for the good team to solve out that pixie's information in a useful way. Because it's the drunkenness and poisoning is coming from too many different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Showing the pixie might also put pressure on the noble. The lunatic and the cannibal are sort of confirming each other and dead, and if the high priestess is being told to go talk to this pixie, who's the third noble ping, that might make the noble look evil.
Yep.
So I'm very inclined to send them to the drunk pixie here, the poisoned pixie here, who just ate a drunk.
Especially if that noble in seat 10 has all of a sudden started going, my ping seems wrong. I think I might be poisoned. Am I Nodashi poisoned? Am I poisoner poisoned? Like, if that player in seat 10, if you hear them starting to build or think about Nodashi worlds, suddenly that noble, who only got information on day one, becomes a viable high priestess ping, but the high priestess is poisoned, so we're definitely not showing that. We're definitely showing this. Mm-hmm. We're definitely showing this drunk poison pixie. Like,
100%. Yeah, I think that's 100% the chance.
And you don't have to show the worst possible thing for the good team, but often it may be fun to do so. It often may be a fun choice.
Then maybe despite our high priestess information, our poisoner gets executed, and then this happens.
I know it's about to happen.
and so our high priestess is still poisoned.
And the town crier's poisoned.
Oh no, the
Oh no, sorry, cannibal's poisoned, sorry.
Dead cult leader's
poisoned, you're right. Thought that was a minion.
And then our silly snake charmer here killed off the Scarlet Woman because they didn't know who was on their team. Yep. All right. Oops. That's why that didn't work.
Yeah.
All right. So there we go.
So now who do we?
So again, we have poisoned high priestess information to give out here. Now also. The evil team is way ahead.
Yeah.
Like, way ahead. Like, the good team is way ahead.
Yeah, rather. The good team is way ahead. Yeah.
Like, two minions are suddenly dead. The snake charmer is going to out everything. Here we go. So, Now we really need to use this poison to help evil. So how are we going to use this poison to help evil, Milk?
I think there's a couple of options, right? The first option is going to be showing the High Priestess to the player in seat, or showing the High Priestess the player in seat 10, or showing the High Priestess the pixie again, because we could use the pixie having eaten the poisoner and who whatever false information. Oh no, we can't do that. The pixie's in fact going to not wake up in the night.
Yeah, the pixie's not waking
up. So we actually don't want to show that pixie, because showing that pixie is going to confirm that this is the Nodashi. So we definitely don't want to show the pixie. The town crier has good information on the evil team. Yeah, we're in a tough spot, Emma. There's not a lot here to show the evil team in the living players that's going to help the evil team.
I would probably send the High Priestess to the town crier.
Probably.
Because sending the High Priestess to the town crier here suggests there's a minion who's alive who still needs to be killed.
That's about the best we're going to do.
And maybe we can convince people that this is the Seat 9 is a minion here who's
doing
just messing around. Maybe they nominated yesterday along with Seat 11, and the town crier got a yes, a sober yes, and we're trying to convince this poison High Priestess to not listen to this snake charming story. That's a minion who's doing shit, and you need to know that a minion is doing the shit, and we're going to let you know that you need to know this by sending you over to that town crier.
Depending on how what the bluffs they've taken are, and depending on how trusted they are, I would love to be able to send the High Priestess to Seat 6 here. Because I think Seat 6 is going to... I think Seat 6 is not going to be enjoying this moment in the game very much.
That's... Yeah.
You know, this is just... This is me, you know, again, just me as... My version of storytelling. You know, if Seat 6...
Talking about enjoying moments in games, I do want to say, please, in case you were wondering about my mental state, it has been going up and down. The Celtics tried very hard to blow a 20-point lead. But Luka Doncic fouled out. We held on. We won by 8. We're up 3-0, which means that later tonight, on Friday, because that's when this episode's releasing, hopefully we're completing the sweep. I know you're all we're very excited for how my mental state is going. I stopped talking about it as we blew more and more of that lead. But
on Friday evening, please make sure to send Emma your best wishes and lots of Boston Celtics gifts.
Or if you hate the Celtics, which is completely normal, lots of people hate Boston sports, feel free to also send me your hatred. I thrive on it.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, the player in Seat 6 might feel a little bit hard done. Their demon got snake charmed. Their ability, you know, Scarlet Woman, didn't really get used in the game. So they might be feeling a little bit, left out. They might be feeling in a little bit of a rough spot. Sending the High Priestess to them, you know, depending on what their bluff is, it might give them a chance to make a play. It might give that player a chance to do something to try to help their team. Showing a dead player High Priestess doesn't say it has to be an alive player. And showing a dead player can suggest to the High Priestess that this is really crucial information. Like, if I'm sending you to a dead player, it's really crucial that you know this. That said, if the High Priestess thinks they're now Nodashi poisoned by the Nodashi sitting next to them, might not be the best option. But
yeah. I think Seat 6 and Seat 7 are the options.
Yeah.
Seat 11 is also an option. Try to convince them that a good player was executed yesterday. I think those are your three options here.
And it depends on who Evil is trying to frame, right? If Evil's trying to frame Seat 7, we're probably not going to show the High Priestess Seat 7.
Yeah. I mean, Evil's going to need to be trying to frame Seat 9 at the moment.
Yeah, they really, really do need to be. But Seat 9, if Seat 9's a minion, right, Seat 7 might be that minion's demon. So, like, again, it's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's
we need to listen to the world that Evil's building.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that was helpful for you all, thinking about how to run these storyteller opinion characters. That's probably all the time we have for now. I have something I need to get ready for.
I think we've covered this. Why don't we jump in the potion shop just real quick?
Yeah.
I think we've covered this topic pretty well, and we've kind of glossed over it at times before, but I think it was worth us giving it kind of a very specific... kind of singular focused kind of thought, because I think we've both encountered this in games recently where we really felt like people probably have a lot of questions about how these two things work and what it means to give the storyteller's opinion about the game's state.
Yeah. Sort of coming up on Grim Scenarios, tomorrow is our special Pride stream.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get a special time. We normally stream at 11 a.m. on Saturdays Eastern Time. This will be 1 p.m. We're going to be featuring a bunch of our LGBTQ cast and streamers and storytellers and their voices, and we're going to have just sort of celebrate Pride. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to be participating in a charity fundraising stream, also sort of for Pride Month, so we're really excited about that.
Emma and I are going to be at Origins Game Fair.
We'll be at Origins Game Fair the week in between that, so if you're going to Origins, feel free to run into us there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you haven't got your tickets for Clock Tower Con in Las Vegas, off in October, you can buy those now. VegasClockTowerCon.com.
Speaking of which, Emma, we are going to be doing a giveaway again this year for Vegas Clock Tower Con.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to be having some guests on from Vegas Clock Tower Con to come and talk about the convention and do that drawing. So keep an ear out for us, and we'll let you know exactly how you can win tickets to Vegas Clock Tower Con. And with that in mind,
all right.
May your scenarios remain grim.